Amen. So let's put up the seven principles of purpose real quick. I want to review this really quickly before we go to the next level here. So these were the seven. Somebody told me I only gave you five. I got them blended together. We're going to fix that up. Somebody told me that. All right. So number one, God is a God of purpose. All right. Number two, God created everything with a purpose. No matter what it is, God created it with a purpose. No matter what it is, no matter what we think about it, it has a purpose. And she was talking about the fact that as we're looking at our city has a purpose. Our city has a destiny. Our city has something that God has ordained it for. But there are times when there are things that invade the city to misuse the city and what it was created for. So we have to be aware that our job is not to determine what the purpose of the city is. Our job is to help restore the city to God's purpose. Amen? Number three, not every purpose is known or understood. Everything we don't understand. Guess what? I don't understand all of y'all. I don't understand you. So I may not know your purpose. You got to know your purpose. You have to allow God to reveal who you are. Let God reveal what your purpose is and who you are. Next is where purpose is not known, abuse is inevitable. If I don't understand you and I try to get you to do the things you're not designed to do, it will be abuse. And I have to learn that as a leader. As a leader, I have to learn not to put people in position that they cannot be successful in. Amen? All right. Because why? If I don't know your purpose, abuse is inevitable. But nobody knows the spirit of a person except the spirit that's in them. So if I ask you to do something and you're not designed to do it, say, I'm not designed for that, Pastor. You have my permission to tell me no. Amen? If you want to know the purpose of a thing, never ask the thing. And the reason is, number six is, and this is where we got messed up last week. Number six is, purpose is found in the mind of the Creator. So, if I have a book, the writer of the book knows what their purpose for authoring the book is. I might read the book and not understand the purpose. I might read the book and actually get so caught up in the first chapter, the foundation that's being laid, that I never get to the actual ninth chapter where the actual point of the book is. How many of you guys started reading a book in chapter one? You go, wow, this is great, and stopped reading it, didn't even read any further. You probably didn't get the full point. The answer is in the mind of the writer or the creator. And if we judge our purpose based on living 5 years, and we look at a child and go, oh, we determine a child's purpose, 5 years old, and we say, oh, he's a little knucklehead. You don't understand what he is. I told you guys a story over and over again. It's one of those ones like, oh my gosh, he's saying that again. When my mother got kicked out of a church because of her bad little boy. And now our bad little boy is a pastor of a church. I need to find some little kids to kick out so they can achieve their destiny. You never know the purpose. You're a little kid asking all these questions and he questioning everything you say. Maybe there's a purpose. Maybe the questions that he's asking are actually molding a design of who he is. That's why it's a shame that kids can't go to school and actually ask questions. Kids are expected to go, listen to a lesson, and if you can't sit still and listen to a lesson, then you must have ADD, let's put you on some drugs, and then let's fix you up. Well, maybe I don't need drugs. Maybe I need you to answer my question. But we've shaped, and we've started trying to make determinations on purpose that we're not equipped to make. Only the Creator can define who someone is and what they're created for. Amen? finally is God's purpose is the key to your fulfillment. When you can learn what God says about you, then God can show you your point. Your fulfillment is found when you find what you're made for. And I can find more fulfillment in teaching a class with two people in it than I can standing on a mountain with everybody saying, what a great whatever. Because when you're in your purpose, when you're in what you're designed for, when you're in that place, then you know I'm fulfilled. I used to find so much fulfillment teaching in a Bible school. I have three students. The best message I ever preached was with three students in the class. Never got a chance to preach it again. Y'all still waiting for another good one to come. But praise the Lord. All right. Y'all didn't even get my jokes this morning, see? Man. It's tough up here today. Coming after that kind of act, it's tough to... Man. All right, five decisions. So she covered the five decisions. I'm going to cover them real quickly. Number one, decide to live by faith. Hebrews 11, 6 says that those that come to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. You have to live by faith. Okay? Decide. Make that decision. If you want to understand your purpose and you can't ask yourself your purpose, so how do you find your purpose? You got to answer these questions and make some decisions. What are these decisions? First thing is, I'm going to choose to live by faith. I'm not always going to be shaken or moved by what I see. I'm not always going to be determined by what is there. I'm going to actually put my faith in God and trust God. Number two, you got to decide to live by love. Even if you have the greatest of faith, it means nothing without love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 tells us, I can sing with the tongues of angels. I can make a whole, I can do whatever. I can get my body to be burned. I can do whatever. But if I have not love, it profits me absolutely nothing. Love has to be the decision that we make that no matter what happens, we will walk in love. Number three, decide to live in victory. What is a victory? It is our faith. Decide that we're going to live in victory. What does that mean? Does it mean you have to destroy other people around you? No. It means that you're going to live a life before God and you're going to allow God to guide you into truth, guide you into right places, guide you into position. And when things come against you to try to get you to quit or to stall or to give up, that you don't give up. Because you know, God is leading me to victory. God is leading me to the place of understanding, place of victory. Next is, how am I going to get there? I got to make a decision to be led by the Spirit. Once again, not being led just by emotion. You have emotions for a purpose. You're supposed to use your emotions. Never tell anybody, don't cry. Don't tell people to just suck it up. Don't tell them that. Decide to be led by the Spirit. But when your emotions are starting to take you into wrong places, then you need to pull your emotions back up and say, I'm not going to be led by that. I'm going to be led by the Spirit of God. How do I find the Spirit of God? The Bible reveals the Spirit of God. It reveals the Spirit of Christ. It reveals who God is. So even in emotions, we don't allow ourselves to be dominated by them. We use them for what they're for, but we operate being led by the Spirit. And finally, decide to allow God to use you to meet the needs of people. And again, she talked about that. We see people in need, we're supposed to pray. Remember what Jesus did to his disciples? Jesus is out in the wilderness preaching. And the people just come out of everywhere. They follow Jesus all the way out to the wilderness. And he's standing there preaching from sun up to sundown. When the sun is getting ready to go down, the disciples come to him and say, Jesus, you need to send these people away because they're hungry. They haven't eaten all day. You need to send them to go to the village to go find something to eat. He said, I'm not. You feed them. Jesus, what are we supposed to? We don't have any food. We had to work a whole year to have enough money to feed all these people. What are we supposed to do? He said, I'm going to give you instructions, but I'm not going to feed them. You're going to feed them. He gave them instructions on what to do. They sat the people down in certain groups. Then they took the little fish and loaves that they had. Jesus blessed it, He divided it, gave it to his disciples, and they fed 5,000 people. A miracle happened. But the miracle only happened because they stopped waiting for somebody else to work the miracle. They wanted Jesus to work a miracle. He said, I am not. You're going to do it. So it changes our perspective and changes our thought process about what church is and what we're doing here. Because church has been brought together not to be a building, but to be the people who are here, who will go out and do whatever God says and expect God to show up with us and work signs and wonders with us. Sometimes we're too busy trying to judge whether somebody else is operating signs and wonders to figure out whether I have signs and wonders working in me. But God is not willing that any should perish. His desire is that all be brought to the knowledge of the truth. His desire is that every one of us knows what we're created to do. He's not trying to keep your purpose a secret. But the problem is we are looking in the wrong place for purpose. So we don't find the purpose. I can guarantee you this. Anybody who's in the room right now, anybody who's right here, your purpose is not in Africa right now. Your purpose is not in Asia right now. God might take you there, but your purpose is not going to be found when you get there. See, here's what God told Joshua. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, I'm going to be with you. And my promise to you is that wherever your feet set, that's the land I'll give you. In other words, your destiny and your purpose is only going to be found where you step. You're not going to find your purpose 6 inches in front of you or 6 inches behind you. You're not going to find it 6 inches to the left or to the right, to any northwest or west by northwest. You're not going to find it nowhere else. No direction you look. The only place you find your destiny is in your own shoes. The only place you find your purpose is in your own spot, in your own place where you have been ordained to be. How do I know I'm ordained to be there? Because you're occupying that space. Basic law of physics. Two things cannot occupy the same place. So if you're in the space, that's your place. Wherever you are, that is where your destiny is, because we look at destiny as being a location, but it's not a location. Destiny is not a place you go to. It's not a place you get to. That's not what a destiny is. That's not what a purpose is. A purpose is a reason for being somewhere, a reason for being in a place. That is what a purpose is. It is my reason for being where I am. And when you understand your purpose, then where you are makes sense. Sometimes we can't understand where we are because you don't know why you're there. It's not that you're in the wrong place. It's that you don't know why you're there. And that's where to understand your purpose cannot be found by looking for it. Here's what Jesus told his disciples. It's going to come a day people are going to say, Lord, Lord, or go over here. He's over there. Don't go over there. He's not over there. Jesus, you're not going to find me over there. He said this. He says, what else he says? And I want to go to this other passage. I want to stay focused. He said, just like the lightning flashes from the east to the west, when the Son of Man comes back, you're not going to miss it. You're not going to miss it. You don't have to sell everything you have and go move to a mountain to be ready for Jesus to come. And I know somebody who did that. They sold everything they were going to have because Y2K was coming. Y'all remember Y2K? Y2K was coming. They sold everything they had and they moved away. And when they moved away, Y2K came, and now they're still there. Because they were worried about Jesus coming, and they needed to be in a special place when Jesus comes. The only space you need to be where Jesus, when Jesus comes, the only place you need to be is where you are. Now, if where I am is the right place, but Jesus told me to go, what am I supposed to do? Oh, Luke chapter 10. Take your Bibles and open up to Luke chapter 10. Very interesting passage. Luke chapter 10. While you're turning, tell your neighbor, you're sitting on your purpose. All right, I'm having fun with y'all today. All right, praise the Lord. Luke chapter 10, verse 1. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them out two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. I'm going to stop right here. Number one, he sent them out two by two. Where did he send them? He sent them only places he was trying to go. So the question is, where's God trying to go? What if God's trying to go to your job? How's he going to get there? What if God's trying to go to your neighborhood? How's he going to get there? What if God's trying to get in your house? How's he going to get in there? He sent them out two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. How's Jesus going to get to that restaurant that you eat in every week? How's Jesus going to get into the store that you shop in all the time? How's he going to get there? Well, what he did is he sent people out. He sent them out before his face to go where he wanted to go. Verse 2, then he said to them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Wait, aren't we supposed to pray for the people? Yes, but you're also supposed to pray for laborers because there are not enough laborers. Actually, some of the people you pray for are actually laborers, but we'll get to that later. Verse 3, go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. Tell your neighbor, say, you're a lamb, not a wolf. Verse 4, carry neither money bag, sack, nor sandals, and greet no one along the road. But whatever house you enter, first say, peace to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If it is not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking such things as they give. For as the laborer is worthy of his wages, do not go from house to house. Whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. And heal the sick who are there. And say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. But whatever city you enter and they do not receive you, go out into its streets and say, the very dust of your city which clings to us, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, the kingdom of God has come near you. Okay. So, a couple of things we want to do. Number one, Jesus sent his disciples out two by two. Second thing is, he told them to pray for the harvest. Pray for the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into his harvest. Pray for God to send people into harvest. The third thing he said, and that's really key here, I send you out as lambs among wolves. Wait a minute. If you know I'm a lamb, why are you sending me to wolves? Are you pushing me into danger? Is God actually pushing us out? I'll tell you about these wolves in a minute. So first of all, there's a power in partnership. Most of us are trying to fulfill purpose by ourselves. We're trying to identify, what is God's calling on me? What is God's purpose on me? And because we're trying to figure out about me, I start walking by myself. I start trying to do stuff myself. I start doing it on my own. I start trying to, get out and do my thing. You know, because I'm trying to fulfill my purpose, and your purpose and my purpose aren't the same purpose. Because so I got to do my purpose, and I'll let you do your purpose. And we're trying to separate and go our way. Either that, or we do what Nimrod and his group did in Genesis chapter 11. We try to circle together, and we don't want to go out because we're trying to enclose ourselves together. And God told us to go into all the world, but we're not, because then people forget about our name. So we're going to stay right here. We're going to build a tower up to heaven. We're going to build up to God because we want to be pleasing to God. So we're going to build all the way up. And God said, that's not what I told you to do. So I'm going to confuse your language and make you go on about your business. So we extremes. We go one way. And I'm one of those solo guys, so I'm not fussing at nobody. Or we swing the other way. But either way we're swinging, we're not doing it the way God called us to do it. Because ultimately he said, go out in twos. I'm putting two of you together. I'm sending you out. And when you go out, know this, I'm sending two lambs among wolves. And when you go out, here's what you're going to do. First thing you're going to do when you go out, bless the wolves. Bless the wolves. See, this is John 3:16. What does it say? God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have what? Eternal life. What does John 3:17 say? For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him all might be saved. What we've done is we've gone out and we said, John 3:16, God so loved the world. If you don't receive this, you're going to hell. Wait a minute, you didn't read the next verse. The next verse says, God did not send this gospel into the world in order to condemn the world. But what has the church consistently done? We have gotten ourselves into a circle and we've looked out and we've condemned everybody outside of the circle. We've gathered together and we've said, we're the church. Now, we're going to become political. We can tell you can't do this or you can't do that. And here's a law for this and a law for that. Guess what? Laws don't work, because if they did, we wouldn't need Jesus. Moses gave them a law, but they rejected the law. They couldn't follow the law. You can't live up to all the points of the law. So if you can't follow the law of God, how are you going to follow the law of the United States? So the law is not the church's answer. What did the song say today? Jesus is the answer. Go to the wolf and say, bless you. Verse 5. Now he sent you out as lambs among wolves, but verse 5, what does it say? But whatever house you enter, first, before you do anything else, first thing you do, peace to this house. You go to the wolf's house, you bid the wolf's house peace. Don't go to the wolf's house and tell the wolf to get saved. Do not go to the wolf's house and tell him you need to get saved. That's not what this says. It says, go to the wolf's house and say, bless you. The Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. I'm here to bring a blessing to your house. I'm here to bring a blessing to you. I'm here to be a blessing to you. Bless this house. Now, if they don't want to receive it, go. No problem. But if your peace comes back to you, then stay there.
Because why? Now you found a receptive heart. So with the receptive heart, now the next thing is, first thing was to bless the wolf. The second thing is to fellowship with the wolf. Invite the wolf to lunch. Go sit down with the wolf. Go have some fun with the wolf. Invite the wolf to come on by with you. Why? Because now you've started building relationship. And we know the kingdom is not about religion. It's about relationships. Now, if you're worried that if you go hang out with the wolf, you're going to become a wolf, you need to renew your mind a little bit more. You know, maybe that's not the wolf. Maybe you need to leave that wolf alone and go find a little wolf to, to talk to. Fellowship with the wolf. Verse 6, if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If it will not, it will return to you and remain in the same house. Again, stay with that wolf, eating and drinking such things as the wolf gives you. For the laborer is worthy of his wages. Wait a minute, didn't the Lord say pray for the laborers? And now here's the laborer at the wolf's house. Wow, interesting. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not go from house to house. In other words, you need to stay with that wolf. You need to see that wolf through. Verse 8, whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. So you're going to fellowship. Third thing to do, verse 9, and heal the sick who are there. When the wolf brings you around his friends, heal the ones that are there and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near you. So the last two things, number one is what? Y'all remember number one was? Bless the wolf. Speak peace to the wolf. What's number two? Fellowship with the wolf. I'm making sure y'all got all these. Last week y'all said I only gave 5, and I know I had 7. I'm making sure you guys got all of them this time. All right? Number two, fellowship with the wolf. Number three, care for the needs of the wolf. Address their needs. Before I really dedicated my life to the Lord, again, I grew up around church. But before I gave my life to the Lord, I had people that would come to me and try to persuade me. They would try to argue with me, tell me the superiority of Jesus, and they would try to get me to believe. But you can't argue with a fool. Because if you argue with a fool, both of you guys are going to look foolish. According to the book of Proverbs. That's not me. That's the book of Proverbs, right? If you argue with me, I'm going to draw you into an argument because you have rules. You have a Bible that you need to follow. I have no rules. So if you argue with me, I'm going to make you look foolish because every time you catch me in the corner, I'm going to lie and make up something new. That was the old me, not me. But arguing. If you argue with wolves, you don't understand wolf language anymore. You don't even speak the same language anymore. You're going to argue with them. You're not going to get it. You're not going to understand where they're coming from. You're not going to understand their vantage point. You can't argue because Jesus didn't say, we're going to know them by their knowledge. He didn't say that. We're going to know Christians by their love. Love is expressed in care. How do you care for? How can you enter somebody's world and through the tools that you've been given, how can you care for them? Now, that doesn't mean that you need to do everything for them, but you have to love people enough to put your love into their environment. Yeah. Yeah. Let your gifts be used to bless them. Let your gifts be used to compliment or address them or strengthen them. Let what you have become a blessing to them. And if you do that and your peace comes back, then what's going to happen is they're being drawn not to you, they're being drawn to the Lord because it's the love of God that you're pouring out into their lives. You can't argue somebody into heaven. The fourth thing is, proclaim that the kingdom of God has come to them. Look at verse 9 again. The kingdom of God has come near to you. It's near, but if you want it, you have to take it. This person that works in my environment, I walk by them every single day. And they're a believer, but they struggle with some things. And I walk by them every day, and I just deposit something. I just walk past them every day and make a deposit. Just make a deposit. Make a deposit. Make a deposit. Make a deposit. And then I know there are other people who walk by the same person making deposits. Making deposits. Making deposits. What's happening? The person is being built up. They're being strengthened. They're being developed. And they don't even realize it. Because you know why? Because we're just going saying, peace. Peace to you. Peace to you. Peace to you. Now, they're a believer. And it's easy to do that with a believer. Because your peace is always coming back from another believer. But what about the person who you go by and you say, peace to you. And they say, take your peace on. I don't want your peace. We got a phone call at the office. And the phone call was, don't leave anything else on my door. Because we hung out the door hangers, right? So put the door hangers. We're praying for neighborhoods. So somebody calls and says, don't come by my house anymore. And we didn't knock on the door. We didn't go inside. We didn't stop anybody. We just went, here's a hanger. Keep walking. Pray we go down the street, praying to bless the houses. So somebody says, don't. But then we had other people who've visited the church as a result. So same thing. If your peace comes back, then reciprocate. If it doesn't come back, let it go. Because why? The harvest is plentiful. The harvest is plentiful. Sometimes we're trying to beat the door down to somebody's life to get this one person to say yes to God when there's a harvest, a plentiful harvest. If they say no, let it go. Somebody's going to say yes. Somebody else is waiting to hear what you have to say. But we sometimes have resisted evangelism because we face the negativity of rejection. And then that rejection then identifies with own things in our lives that we're already battling with. We're already battling with putting rejection down. We're already battling with people accepting or not accepting us. So then we say, well, evangelism's not for me. Yes, it is. It's your purpose. It's part of your calling on your life. It's part of who you are, whether you understand it or not. The way that we've been taught may not be acceptable to you, but the way that Jesus said to do it is very simple to do. You remember four things. Find a wolf, bless the wolf, fellowship with the wolf, care for the wolf, tell the wolf the kingdom's here. Now, how do we do that in the workplace? You're not supposed to be preaching at work because they don't pay you to preach. You might volunteer to preach at work, but they're not paying you to preach at work. So what do you do? And we're going to close with this. You take these same four things and you transfer them. So at work, you're working with systems, you're working with things. So the first thing is, when you're at work, stop trying not to be part of the system. See, I battled this for a while. I'm a Christian. I'm different, so I don't want to fit. I'm trying not to fit. I'm doing what I can not to fit because I want everybody to think I'm like everybody else. I want to be different because I'm a Christian. I need to stand out, you know, and I need to find this cross isn't big enough. I got to get a bigger cross. I need a cross. I need one. It got to go. I'm tall. It's got to go down further. I got to find some big symbol that tells everybody I'm a Christian. Doing everything we can to not fit. But Jesus said, go. As a matter of fact, don't even take extra stuff with you. Just you. Just take you. Don't take extra money bag. Don't take extra sandals. Don't take all this religious stuff. Don't take a big old long robe. Don't take any of that stuff. Just you go. You go. You go to the environment. You go. You be a part of the environment. You go there. So first thing is, become a part of the system. The second thing is, embrace it. Don't push it off. Embrace it. Because once you embrace it, you're fellowshipping in it. When I first started working in a new place, I found where all the smokers go. And I went to the smoker spot. Why? That's where all the good conversations go, is where the smokers are. If you find where the smokers are, I guarantee you some good old conversation going on. Embrace it. Don't resist it. Don't hide from all the places. Don't hide from the bad. The people everybody else says to stay away from, those are wolves. Go find them. Find the wolves. Because you know what? Everybody else is running from the wolves. Find the wolves and fellowship with them. Get to know them. Because you might find out they weren't a wolf all the time. You might find out something happened to make me a wolf. And I'm a wolf so you don't come over here messing with me. I made myself into a wolf. You might just find that if you slow down and get to know them. Don't hide, embrace it. The third thing is, improve it. If you have a workplace that's bad, don't keep confessing how bad it is. Change it. Fix it. Bring the healing. Why? Because you have Jehovah Rophe with you, the healer. Take the healer into the environment and start to heal the environment. Start to bring the environment some health. Start to bring some normal activity to the place. Because if Satan has been there, this is the interesting thing about Luke chapter 10. I know I said I was going to close, but I'm going to give you this insight. In the previous chapters, the disciples went somewhere and they tried to cast out a devil. And they couldn't do it. And the devil fought them back and they couldn't do anything, right? So then Jesus took the 12 and he sent them out. And they sent them out, they had success, they came back and they said, Lord, this is what happened. He said, good, that's what's supposed to happen. Then right after that, another devil shows up. And they couldn't do anything with it again. And these aggressive demons keep coming out. But in Luke chapter 10, Jesus sends these 70 new people. These aren't the 12 that have been with him all the time. These are some other ones that don't even really, they're just kind of on the side. He grabs them, he sends them out, and they go out told that you are lambs among wolves. And look at verse 17. Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and on scorpions and on over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall hurt you. Nevertheless, don't get excited about that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Expect the demons are going to run from you. Now, how come the demons ran when the 70 went out, but they were fighting everybody before then? Because they were sent out to make way. See, I went to work at this place, and they sent me in this spot. And a lady who was sitting near me, the second day I was there, she turns to me, she says, you know, something strange happened in this building yesterday. I said, really? What happened? She said, I don't know what it is yet. She said, but something different is in the building. So then she shared with me her practices. Okay? She practices some witchcraft. And so I show up, and something different happened. What's different in the building? What's different right now? Now, I didn't say, I'm a Christian and the reason it's different because... No. I didn't know what I'm sharing with you then. What I knew to do is I knew to speak a blessing over the wolf. So I didn't condemn her for practicing witchcraft. I started to bless her. And I started to speak life over her. And eventually she said, one day she says to me, she said, you know, I practice healing, so watch this. Take my hands. Touch my hands. Touch my hands. And she said, do you feel that? I said, I don't feel anything. She said, do you feel it now? I said, no, I don't feel anything. And so she's still trying to share her stuff with me. But it's not impacting me. Nothing's happening. She said, well, usually when people touch my hands, they can feel something. I said, well, I don't feel anything. Now, what I'm telling you, when you understand who you are, then you'll understand that being a lamb is not a liability. When you understand who God has really made you to be and what your purpose is, then it doesn't make a difference if you stand among wolves or you stand among lions or you stand among tigers. It doesn't matter what it is that you stand among, or you stand among giants or you stand among whatever. It doesn't make a difference because this lamb plus God is more than enough. See, to understand who you are, see, all kinds of things come to throw you off track or get you deceived or get you to compromise who you are or to not be confident in who God has made you to be. But whoever God has made you to be is enough for wherever you're standing. Don't be run out of your environment, because if God puts you there, then you're called to be there. Now, if he calls you and tell you to go somewhere else, then leave that spot and go where God told you to go. But don't leave your spot just because a giant showed up. Don't leave your spot because a lion showed up. Don't leave your spot because a wolf has come into the environment. You talk to that wolf and you tell that wolf how to work. You bless that wolf. You make that wolf know that God is here. And when you do, you might see a wolf become a lamb. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you for your word today. We ask that your word would stir our hearts, stir our minds, bless us with supernatural understanding, build us up on our most holy faith. Reveal to us who we are as lambs of the Most High God. Let us never again be afraid of anything that comes our way. Let us be bold that even though we are not equipped with fangs, we're not equipped with claws, we don't need that, because we are designed the right way. We give you the praise and the glory. Thank you for your name, the name that is above every name, the precious name of Jesus. We give you glory and honor and praise. We thank you for the commission on our lives that you send us out today. Let us find partners to go with into this harvest that you called us to. We thank you for giving us wisdom to pray the Lord of the harvest that you send forth your laborers into this harvest. And we thank you and bless your name in Jesus' name.